Welcome to Multifamily Real Estate Investing, presented by Mara Poling. My name is Pat Poling. I'm the founder and CEO of Mara Poling. And once again, happy to be with you to discuss an interesting topic in multifamily real estate, and that is the advantages of scale. I'm going to talk today about seven specific advantages that you can receive by investing at scale, meaning properties of 100 units or larger. Also going to talk about a disadvantage. Wouldn't be fair to talk about advantages without at least one disadvantage, and how you can mitigate and address that disadvantage. As always, if you have questions, feel free to shoot me an email, pat@marapoling.com, MARAPOLING.com, and feel free to swing by marapoling.com, the learning center, to find lots of great educational material and content coming up. We do have a live event this week in Las Vegas. So for those of you that have signed up, looking forward to seeing you. And we will have more live events coming on the schedule fairly soon, a couple coming up in Texas in the not too distant future. And if you did not get a chance to participate in our 2020 Multifamily Outlook webinar, please shoot me an email and I'll send you a copy of the recording and the slide deck so that you can benefit from all of that. And we will have that up on the website soon. It's simply not posted yet. So in the meantime, feel free to shoot me an email. So the advantages of scale. When we talk about scale, when I talk about scale, I'm talking about having that ability to invest in 100 units or more of multifamily real estate, specifically commercial multifamily real estate. At that size, it is a commercial investment. And we're going to contrast this with two other possibilities. One is a residential multifamily investment. So this would be a fourplex or a triplex or a duplex or a single family rental. And for our purposes today, we're going to talk about a fourplex, the largest of the residential space. And then a 40-plex, which is that tweener kind of property. Not exactly the scale you get at 100, more scale than you get at a fourplex. And so we'll look at each of those as we go through. So as I said, seven advantages that I want to talk about, one disadvantage, and then a strategy for how you can mitigate that disadvantage. In no particular order, I'm going to start with the first two have to do with what I would describe as smoothing, the smoothing effect of scale. And the first of those is going to be vacancy. The math just seems pretty simple if you look at it. If you have a fourplex at any given point in time, when you take a snapshot, you will be 100% occupied, or 75%, or 50, or 25, or 0% occupied. And over the course of a year, you have, we'll get my handy calculator out, but I'm pretty sure I can do this in my head, you have 4 units times 12 months, you have 48 unit months of occupancy opportunity. And so that's the amount of smoothing you can get. So it's a little lumpy. You may be fully occupied for some period of time, and then you might run at 75% for 3 months, not because one unit is empty for 3 months, but because you have three expirations and non-renewals right in a row. And as those people move out, you've got to replace them and you're empty for a month or something along those lines. So lumpy. If you go to a 40-plex, definitely smoother, right? There's more scale there, and it smooths out, right? So 40 units at 12 months is 480 unit months. That can be much smoother. And obviously now you can start to have some of those fractional occupancy percentages. But it's still kind of lumpy and still difficult to forecast. As you get up towards 100 units, a couple of things happen. So not only do you have more unit months, so 1,200 unit months in a year, but you now have the ability to forecast and plan on a certain amount of vacancy. In the residential space, in that fourplex, you're really kind of counting on all the units being full all the time, and then maybe just making some estimate about what you might take in the way of a hit from vacancy. The closer you get to 100, and as you move above that, we have properties as large as 400 units in the Mara Poling portfolio. As you get to 100 and beyond, it becomes easier and easier to forecast a very specific level of physical vacancy. You go from it being 25%, maybe that's a guess at that fourplex, and it's for a few months, so you're at 12, to at the 40-plex, where maybe you can say it's 10, whereas in 100-unit plus, you can pretty consistently say, you know what, we're going to be at 7.5. And we have confidence in that because of the historical data we have and the fact that our sample size gets larger and larger, and that's what really drives that. So there's a smoothing effect to vacancy, which allows you to forecast it. Vacancy is not a bad thing. It's a thing. It's going to happen. So being able to forecast it more accurately allows you to manage the property more successfully. Another place where you see smoothing would be our second advantage, and that is rent growth. So if you want to grow the rent and ultimately drive your operating income from that, doing so in a larger property, again, is smoother. If you're in a fourplex and you want to move rents, you have a couple of challenges. One is, and it ties back to your vacancy issue, if you want to move the rents, you're potentially going to spike your non-renewals at expiration, and you're going to constantly have units coming available. So you'll have four vacancies a year that you have to fill, which potentially means you end up with four empty units for some period of time or longer if you have difficulty filling those. At 40, that becomes a little easier. At 100, at 100 units, it's much easier because now, in addition to forecasting vacancy, we can forecast what those renewal rates look like. And we can throttle, is the word I use, we can throttle our rent increases, specifically our rent increases on existing tenants, on renewals, as well as on vacant units and specifically improved units. We can throttle that so that if we're getting really strong renewal rates and strong interest, so our occupancy is strong, we can push the rents a little harder. If we're not there, we can back off on it a little bit. And in particular, at scale, you can also start to use some tools that allow you to do that. And we utilize those tools in the Mara Poling portfolio that allow us to basically turn the dial either towards rent growth or towards the occupancy side, and allows us to fine-tune how it performs. Those kind of tools aren't really available in the residential space from that standpoint. Okay, so those are the first two. The third is going to be professional management. Now, you can hire a professional manager for any size property you're in. Obviously, at 100 units, we use professional management, which is on-site. I'm going to talk about the on-site component in a minute. But you can hire professional management at a 40-unit property, and you can hire it for a fourplex as well. In a fourplex, you're going to have difficulty finding a property management partner who can efficiently and effectively manage your property, given the fact that for their business to work, they would need a substantial number of clients that look like you. And so you become one very small fish in a very big pond in terms of how that works. And it's not because they aren't good people or they don't do a good job. It's just the business model makes it very difficult for them to spend the time on you that you need, unless you significantly overpay and then all your cash you generate actually goes to your manager and not to you, which is something you wouldn't want to do. So professional management's very difficult. Most of you out there that I talk to who have residential investments manage them yourself. And that's understandable. The downside to that is It's difficult to do that. It simply takes time. The other is, it's hard to do that over a long period of time. It can interfere with the other events going on in your life. And unless you have family members that are intimately involved, were something to happen to you as the manager, then those properties are at risk from that standpoint. A little easier at 40 units, but you're still not going to have the scale you need when we get to 100 units and beyond. And at 100 units and beyond, we not only have some on-site capability, which I'll talk about, as I said, in a minute, but we have more focus. We have more attention, if you will, of our partners, and we can use more professional firms, as we do, that bring some additional tools to the table that you're not going to get in that residential space or in that mid-size 40-unit space. So I've mentioned it twice. The fourth item here is on-site management. Almost impossible to have on-site management in a fourplex. You might have a tenant who says, hey, if you ever need anything done around here, I'm happy to take care of things. And maybe you cut them a deal on their rent. You charge them $100 a month less, and they take care of a few things for you. They're not managing the property. You simply can't afford to do that at that size of an asset. So you're not going to have anybody on site. You aren't going to have anybody on site at a 40 unit either. If you do, it's significantly more expensive than it needs to be. It's not an efficient model. When you get to 100 units and beyond, you now are at a place where on-site management is efficient and is a very effective tool. And as you get larger and larger, 200, 300, as I said, our largest property that we have in the portfolio and have had in our portfolio is around 400 units. At 400 units, you now have a full staff. You have multiple on-site leasing agents and a manager, as well as a maintenance staff that has some individuals that are focused on electrical or plumbing or HVAC and other matters, as well as general turn of units and the like. You can have a very efficient team that comes together and do so in a way that can help you optimize income. So again, the scale here really drives not only an efficiency component, but a service component for your tenants. The fifth item is what I mentioned when I opened, and that is a 100-unit investment is in a commercial multifamily property. And it's commercial because of its size, right? That's no longer considered residential. One, two, three, four units are considered residential multifamily. The 40-unit property is going to be considered commercial as well. Commercial properties have a number of differences, lending and other items. One of the primary differences that you'll experience as an investor in commercial or in residential is commercial properties are valued based on the net operating income that they generate. If you are able to take a property, a 100-unit property, and increase the net operating income by $60,000, and you do that in a market that is a 6-cap market, meaning that that's the rate of return on an investment that the market expects to get, you've just added $1 million in value to that property. You may not have done anything to the property. You didn't paint it. You didn't put a new roof on it. You didn't do anything in the interiors. You were just able to grow the NOI. Or you spent $1 million doing it. Whatever it is, you moved that NOI and the value of that asset moved. If you've got a fourplex or a triplex or a duplex or a single family, and as you get smaller and smaller in that residential space, this becomes more and more true, there may be some appreciation for the amount of income that's generated. There will be more and more of a focus, though, on simply what comps have sold for, certainly in the single family and duplex space. If you're improving your income by 5%, 10%, 15%, the value of your property could actually go down if, in fact, in the neighborhood you're in, the comps have decreased in value. And so the one of the biggest advantages to investing with scale is the ability to grow the value of the asset over time in this commercial space, okay? Number, let's see, one, two, three, four. That was five. Number six is going to be some tax benefits, right? So a couple of things. One is it's a little easier to do a 1031 on a commercial 100 unit plus property than it is on a bunch of smaller properties. And I say that because one of the ways you might consider getting some scale is, well, I'm going to go buy a bunch of fourplexes. I'm going to go buy 10 fourplexes. That'll give me 40 units. It gives me some diversification. It addresses some of these other issues. That's what I'll do. And that can be a method that would make some sense. Doesn't get you to 100 units, but it certainly gets you some diversification and some of the benefits of scale. However, when it comes time to sell some of those assets, access the lazy equity, get some new fresh depreciation in a brand new asset, you can execute 1031s on each individual asset. Now the timing becomes very, very challenging in terms of how you do that. I won't say it's impossible, but it's going to be difficult, that's for sure. Whereas an investment in a 100-unit property, it's a single property with all the benefits of scale and the ability to 1031. Another tax benefit is the ability to elect cost segregation as your depreciation methodology. You can do that on any of these assets. It costs money to do it and do it correctly. We utilize independent third-party appraisers that come in and prepare a IRS-approved cost segregation report that we can use to help us with that depreciation management. And it's cost-effective when we have 100 units. At 40 units, it would become a more significant cost. It doesn't cost more. It's just you're spreading that cost across a smaller base. And when you get down into that residential space, it can be very difficult to do that. Cost segregation is a wonderful tool that allows us to accurately describe the depreciation of the asset. So mini blinds are a shorter term expense as compared to the foundation of the buildings. Nobody would expect a mini blind to last 27 and a half years. So why should you write them off over that period of time? And cost segregation allows us to do that. So tax is a sixth benefit. The seventh benefit, and it's the final one that I'm going to touch on today, is the ability for a cash event to occur. And what that looks like is this, is as an asset grows in value, I mentioned that a 1031 gives you the ability to sell that asset, exchange into a new one so that you can access the lazy equity in there and get a new asset with some fresh depreciation. Another way, though, that you can access that lazy equity is to refinance your debt. And that would either be retiring the existing debt and putting new debt in place or putting supplemental debt, a second loan, on the asset. Again, that can be done on individual residential properties. But again, it's individual in nature. So if you had one property, you're talking about a very modest amount that you might be able to access. If you're talking about multiple properties, well, that's multiple capital events you have to go through and do. It's much easier to do that in a large asset at scale at 100 units. So there's seven advantages. There's definitely more, but there's seven advantages. So what's the disadvantage? I said there's a disadvantage to scale. And there is, and that is for the vast majority of all of us, so you as listeners and me personally and all sorts of other folks, it's very expensive, potentially prohibitively expensive to buy a 100, 200, 300 unit property all by yourself. In the markets that we're active in, we're talking about, you know, $10 million, $12 million purchase prices. That would take $4 or $5 million of investment in the models that we use. I'm sure somebody listening or several people listening, that's within their window. Congratulations and good for you. If it's not, then there's not really a vehicle for you to be able to get to the scale like that. That's the disadvantage. I can't buy a 100-unit property. All I can afford is this fourplex. because when I'm done, I've got $200,000 invested, and that's what works given my personal financial situation. And if that's the strategy you choose to pursue, great. The vast majority of the strategies we talk about every single week here on Multifamily Real Estate Investing, presented by Mara Poling, are applicable across the space, regardless of scale. So that has to do with any of the things we talk about in terms of how we manage assets from value add and all the rest of what goes with that. But if you would like to get the benefits of scale, there is a way you can address that downside, that disadvantage of it being prohibitively expensive, and that is to invest using a syndication or a pool of money. So this might be maybe you and some family and friends pool money together, and you have enough instead of buying that fourplex to buy the 40-plex. So you get some of the scale benefits. Not all, but you get some of the scale benefits. Or you've got more friends, or you have a little more money as a group, and you're able to buy a 100-unit property. Or you choose to work with someone like Mara Poling, whether it's with us or someone else, in which you can take that same $200,000 you would have put in your duplex and put it into a 100-unit property through a syndication. So that may be a good fit for you. It may not be a good fit for you. You need to learn more about what those kinds of investments look like in order to help you understand how that might fit for you. Now, none of this means that owning a fourplex is a bad idea. It simply means that you're going to get many, most, but not all of the advantages that are available to you in multifamily. The ones that I've listed here that are advantages, these seven for scale, you won't have access to if you're investing in a fourplex. But that doesn't mean that that's not a good investment for you. And many individuals, many of our clients, do both. They have investments in syndications like Mara Poling, like our Total Return Fund, and they have some individual assets they own themselves, and they like that. It's a best of both worlds kind of scenario for them. So if you'd like to learn more, if you'd like to learn more about what we do and potentially becoming a member in our fund or in one of our other vehicles, obviously I'd be happy to talk to you. If you'd like to just learn more about how syndications work, about how a fund like ours operates, I'm happy to chat with you about that and to share some information that can help you learn more. Understanding that that doesn't mean anybody's going to invest. You're just going to learn more about the process. And we're happy to do that from an educational standpoint. I would encourage you to do one of two things. Either shoot me an email, again, pat@marapoling.com, or visit the website, marapoling.com. And there's a link you can click on there where you can access my calendar's little telephone. Click on it and you can set up time for a call. I'm happy to spend 30 minutes chatting with you and helping answer some of your questions so that you can make some decisions about how you want to get involved in the multifamily space. We strongly encourage everyone to have some multifamily real estate in their portfolio. It's simply too good of an investment in terms of diversification and stabilization of your investment portfolio not to have some, whatever size or shape that might happen to be. So thanks for joining us this week. Please join us again next week for another episode of Multifamily Real Estate Investing, presented by Mara Poling.